Thank you for listening to this Podcast One Sportsnet production, available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
All right, it's Thursday, and that means you hit the download button on the Steve Austin Unleashed podcast at Podcast One. Or if you've been taking Alpha Brain to keep yourself razor sharp and laser focused, then you already subscribed to this show at iTunes, and you didn't have to remember to hit any buttons. You had easy access right on your phone. You know what else you can do right from your smartphone? DDP Yoga. It's true. Diamond Dallas Page has built a hell of an app for this DDP Yoga program, and you can get it at iTunes or the Google Play Store if you're an Android user. And right now, Dallas is giving all you guys a great deal if you go to ddpyoga.com/Austin. You're going to get the best price on DDP Yoga, and you get 3 free months of the DDP Yoga Now app. The app lets you do DDP Yoga wherever you are, whenever you want. And you can access all the workouts right from your phone or tablet. And you can do live workouts from the DDP Yoga Performance Center. That's pretty cool. You can check out recipes, cooking demonstrations, and nutrition guides. You can motivate yourself by watching some of the incredible testimonial videos and stories. All of these are tools to help you get fit and live a healthy lifestyle. And you can do it all from your phone. Dallas is giving you everything you need to get on a path to healthier living, and he's making it as easy as possible. So get the DDP Yoga program at ddpyoga.com/Austin and take advantage of the 3 free months of the DDP Yoga Now app. It's like Dallas always says, all you got to do is commit. So make that commitment now at ddpyoga.com/Austin.
The following program is a podcast1.com production.
He started in a small town in Texas. Worked his ass off to become one of the most famous wrestlers of all time.
We're going to take care of business tonight, and that's the bottom line.
And now, he's dominating the world of on-demand audio.
And he's doing it for the working man.
This is a damn good outlet for me to spew the bullshit off my brain.
Yeah!
This is the Steve Austin Show. Unleashed.
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 All right, everybody, welcome to the Steve Austin Show. I am coming to you from the main streets of Los Angeles, California today. I am sitting here in my office at 316 Gimmick Street. Man, I tell you what, I was going to do a little storytelling on today's podcast, and I did. And my illustrious wife, Kristen, joined in on the process. I didn't know she was going to jump in and join on the show, but she did. And I was going to talk to Wade Keller for about 30 minutes, and then there about 30 minutes of my conversation with my wife. So since I recorded the conversation with my wife, I got on the phone via Skype, computer rather, with Wade Keller from the Pro Wrestling Torch, and we started talking about WWE. We were talking about the brand split. We were talking about WWE moving SmackDown to Live on Tuesdays, all that business. And, of course, once me and Wade start talking about the business, we just kept talking. I ended up talking with the man for an hour. So then, if you put the hour conversation I had with Wade plus the 35-minute conversation I had with my wife plus all the reads, the open, the close, you're looking at a two-hour show. I like to keep this show right about an hour, give or take. So what you're going to hear today is my conversation with Wade Keller about business that's going on in WWE, the brand split, all that bullshit, talking about who needs some W's, wins. Yeah, there's people on that roster that need some wins, and one of them, I'll give it away right now, AJ Styles. He's been an all-star for the last few months in his feud with Roman Reigns. So we're going to talk about all that. I'm going to keep the conversation I had with my wife in the can. I'll play that next Thursday because I'm explaining all the headaches, hassles, and horse shit I got going on over here at 316 Gimmick Street. Why I got that damn sea turtle in my swimming pool that you guys have seen on my Instagram account. If you follow me on Instagram at Steve Austin BSR, because there's a reason why that motherfucker's back there. It's not because I'm crazy. It's not because I got a little blow up toy that just floats around in my pool. It's a reason. And you're going to hear that coming up next Thursday. But anyway, I tell you what, folks, started my rehab on my shoulder just yesterday, got through my first therapy session. I'm going to give you the details on that, making some progress at the gym. Things are back on a little bit of a schedule. I'm still on a slow timeline, but I was going to keep you guys posted on the shoulder updates. I got to wear the sling for yet another week. That's going to take me to 6 weeks. and I'm looking forward to trying to get some more range of motion, some movement going in the shoulder. But right now, as it hangs right here in my sling, it's feeling pretty good, and everything feels pretty solid. I'm just being very careful, again, not to jar any of the work that was done in there. And that is the reason I missed the Stone Cold podcast with Shane McMahon. That's the reason I wasn't able to go to the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame. But it is what it is, and I got to take care of this wing and get back to doing what I do, because I do believe Broken Skull Challenge is going to roll cameras here in a couple of months, and I'm doing everything I can to get this shoulder back, get outside, get outdoors, and do some of the things that I do. And one of those is work for a living. So it is what it is. Shoulder's coming along, and I'm feeling good. I'll tell you what, speaking of feeling good, I did something a little bit different today. I tried what's called cryotherapy, and what cryotherapy is, I'm looking at the little brochure right here in my hand. Cryotherapy is the use of extremely low temperatures to address a variety of health issues, from joint pain to muscle soreness, weight loss to skin problems, and overall wellness. Additional cumulative benefits are achieved after several months of treatment. Basically, what you do, people, is you go in and you take off pretty much everything. If you're a guy, you leave your underwear on, and you put a robe on, you put these socks on, and then you put these like little UGG boots on, and put some gloves on, and then you go into this room, you take your robe off, and you stand in this machine. It's kind of like a stand-up tanning bed, and you keep your knees moving up and down like you're walking in place, and they spray this this cold, it's like an air conditioner, really, and it's like a cloud. It's like it's just very, very cool. I think it's like 200 degrees below zero, something like that, some kind of crazy cold temperature. And you stand in there for 3 minutes, and it's supposed to help your body recover, supposed to help you sleep better, it's supposed to do a whole litany of good things for your body. So if it says you're supposed to sleep better, I'll let you know how that sub-bitch comes out after I go to sleep tonight, because I didn't sleep worth a shit last night. But I started doing some research on cryotherapy because their Dallas Mavericks basketball team was using the hell out of it. And all these sports teams and these sports figures, Cristiano Ronaldo, famous soccer player, all these sports teams were swearing by this treatment. And then if you get on the internet, some people say, ah, that's bullshit. There's no way to scientifically prove that it's actually helping you. But with all these high-level, world-class athletes using it, I figure, hey, man, what the hell? If it's going to make my fucking crusty ass feel any better, I'll give it a shot. So anyway, I'll give you the progress report and let you know how the cryotherapy is going along as I proceed with my appointments here over the next month. Science. Who would have figured a motherfucker could stand up and basically, like, below freezing temperature for 3 minutes, and it's going to make your ass feel better? Stay tuned. I'll let you know how it's going. Anyway, ain't nothing else going on, folks. I'm going to get to my business right here. I'm going to get to my conversation with Wade Keller from Pro Wrestling Torch. We're talking all things WWE. And you guys, you've been hearing me talk about the 5-4 Club on this podcast, and that's because I hate to go out and buy new clothes. I hate to go shopping. And I can't believe someone finally thought of this service. Swig a beer for no more shopping. And if you're like me when it comes to shopping, then 5-4 Club is your solution. Sign up for 5-4club.com and have your clothes delivered right to your front door. You pick your sizes, you pick your color choices, and you tell them a little bit about your personal style. Do you need work clothes? Hanging around the house clothes? Or maybe you need something a little nicer so you can take your girl for a night out. Just let 5-4 Club know when you sign up, and then wait for the clothes to show up. And 5-4 Club won't break your bank. Where else can you get all that for just $60 a month? And I'll do you one better. If you go 54club.com and use the promo code Austin at sign up, you'll get 50% off your first package. And if you want to change up your style choices or colors, you can do that for your next delivery. And the best part is 54 Club also gives you style tips to show you how to wear everything. They've made your wardrobe idiot-proof. So go to 54club.com and use the promo code Austin at sign up and get 50% off your first package. That's 54club.com and use the promo code Austin at sign up to get 50% off your first package.
Steve Austin, Unleashed. Unleashed.
All right, I'm talking to Wade Keller from Pro Wrestling Torch, and right before we started rolling sound, Wade says, we are on Unleashed, right? And I said, yes. guest, so I don't know what Wade's going to drop on us, but he's come here to speak wisdom. We're talking about all things WWE with the brand split, with SmackDown going to Tuesday, running live. Anyway, without any further ado, let's bring the man from Minneapolis in, Wade Keller. Wade, how are you?
I'm doing great. Anytime I'm on your show, Steve.
Hey, man, you're on the Unleashed show. You got anything you're going to uncork on me, or are you just kind of checking? Because I don't want you to go off on a rant that you're going to regret.
I know it's not my brand, but at least I know if I feel it, I don't have to edit myself. I do want to say it's not the brand split. It's the sports entertainment roster differentiation.
Damn, you're a damn scientist over there. How did you come to that conclusion?
Actually, I was just joking with Todd. We're talking on the VIP audio show with Todd Martin before I recorded with you, and we're joking about how they're calling it that the rosters will be distinct. And I was just like, and I like that. I mean, I'm kind of making fun of it, but I actually think it's smart not to call it a brand split because that has a negative connotation. Oh, something that used to be whole is now half. And I don't think that's the way it necessarily has to be or will be. So saying there's distinct rosters has no inherent negativity in it. So I'm not pro corporate speak. You know, it's in the you know, that kind of thing that WWE overdoes. So we kind of joked, you know, what would be a bad option instead of brand split? And we came up with sports entertainment roster differentiation.
So what do you think about SmackDown?
Sorry you asked, Steve.
So what do you think about SmackDown moving to Tuesday Live on USA Network?
I think it's exciting. I think it's a good move. I think that the idea of SmackDown having equal importance to Raw, or at least being in the same conversation, because they're now both shows are on USA and both shows are live. And there's no inherent reason other than Raw being 3 hours and kind of the flagship over time and the longer, you know, the firstborn of Vince's two TV sons. I don't think there's any reason for SmackDown to seem like the stepchild anymore, so to speak. I think that in that sense, it's exciting. We're in an era where if something happens at SmackDown on Tuesday, there's just by Thursday, I mean, you got to really unplug to not hear about it. So live is better than pre-taped.
Well, you know, I agree with that. And you know, so the new SmackDown will come on the air on USA, I guess, on July 19th.
Yes.
So speak to me about the ratings, because how have the ratings been with respect to Raw? I know they were up this past week, but they haven't been so great, versus SmackDown, which, you know, what are they dwelling on? In the ones over there?
Yeah, like 1.6-ish. I mean, I think SmackDown ratings will go up, not necessarily primarily because they're live, and that sounds contradictory, but I think the ratings will go up because they're going to put more of a focus on it, especially with the distinct rosters that they're not just teasing, they're outright advertising that there's going to be wrestlers who you like who you cannot see on Monday nights anymore. You will only see them on Tuesday nights. So the fact that it's live is going to make WWE and Vince McMahon and company put more stress on it because they're putting more money into it and they expect bigger results for that expense. But I think the bigger results are largely going to come from the fact that they're just going to prioritize the show more. And, you know, whoever it is, if it's Randy Orton or John Cena, or perhaps more likely AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura, whatever it is that becomes SmackDown exclusive, there's going to be people who normally would skip SmackDown, and now they're going to think, that's the only chance I have to see my favorites.
Okay, now what network was SmackDown on previously, or currently?
USA Network, but pre-taped Tuesdays and airing on Thursdays, and that was only as of this year. Prior to that, it was on Sci-Fi, and then, of course, going back to that on various broadcast channels, starting way back with UPN.
Boy, you talk about how out of touch I am with the SmackDown product. I didn't even know that it was on USA Network.
Just this year. Yeah, they moved them to USA. And I mean, there was talk of of roster distinctions. I remember last year, before Daniel Bryan was out, right around the time that Daniel Bryan actually got pulled from the European tour, because I remember talking to somebody in WWE, and they were saying that they thought Daniel Bryan was going to become SmackDown exclusive and that they were going to do some sort of brand differentiation or roster distinctions. I think this is going even further than whatever they had thought about but not executed last year. Because remember when they switched announcers around and Lawler went on Tuesdays and he ended up with Byron Saxton and JBL with Cole on Raw? That was part of what was going to be a larger differentiation between the brands, and then they just, I think Daniel Bryan's injury honestly derailed any kind of concrete thoughts with that. But when they hired Mauro Ranallo, who has a very different vibe and feel to his announcing, and moved Cole just to Raw, and when SmackDown moved to USA, I think that added credence to the fact that something was coming up. It was just a matter of time.
You know, it's interesting. You mentioned Daniel Bryan, who's no longer with WWE due to health-related reasons. But I was talking to Court Bauer, a friend of mine from MLW. What about the fact that, you know, Cody Rhodes decided to ride off in the sunset? He wasn't happy with creative, wasn't happy that he couldn't do what he wanted to do. So don't you think, to Court's point, his value would have been at an all-time high because of the brand split, and they're going to need all hands on deck. And so that maybe, you know, him leaving wasn't such a good idea to take himself out of the picture, as he might have had a little bit more leverage or might have been used in a higher regard due to the brand split, because they're going to need all the talent they can muster.
I think it looks like bad timing. I admire Cody for taking a stand. Because
I do too.
Yep. I think that wrestling is at its best when there's an authenticity to the characters or the wrestlers you see on TV that gives off a vibe that they're outlaws, that they're individuals who will stand up for themselves. And I think there's something about a publicly traded corporate WWE that's beaten that out of the system somewhat. I think to a greater detriment to the product than the benefit of not dealing with guys who create headaches for management. Cody, I admire for taking a stand because he was frustrated. I don't, you know, some people say, oh, just be happy that you get to be a sports entertainer in WWE. And it's like, but if you're not happy, if you're not creatively fulfilled, if you have more pride, especially being the son of Dusty. And I mean, at some point, you know, it's like CM Punk. I admired the hell out of him for taking a stand. I didn't agree with every reason, you know, and every reason and every perception that he had of his own push, but I admired the hell out of him for saying, I'm not so enamored with the thought of being a wrestler that I'll put up with things that I think demean me as an adult, as a man. And I think Cody got to that point.
Yeah, well, man, it'll be interesting to see what road he goes down next.
I know.
I was talking to Ariane Andrew the other day, and she's set her sights on acting and a few other endeavors. But, you know, man, I don't know. I mean, if you want to wrestle, where else do you go, Wade? Because I don't see him in Japan. I love the kid. I love Cody. I think he's a real talented guy. But where does he go from here if it's going to be in the wrestling world?
That's my thought too. I mean, I see Cody as a perfect fit for WWE style wise. And yes, he could go to TNA and do what Drew Galloway, Drew McIntyre has done and book himself the way he wants and go to TV tapings every couple months, work a couple days of tapings and stay in the national scene in front of 350,000 people on pop TV. That's not a wrestling career. He would need to fill it in with other things. And so does he go to Ring of Honor and prove that there's more of an edge and a grit to him, and maybe he's got a chip on his shoulder and he has something to prove? I'd be interested in seeing that. But I'm with you on New Japan. I mean, I think he can go there, and I think with the Dusty heritage, I think that he'd get a push. I mean, David Hart Smith went there and remade his image. So I think there's a way to go to Japan and show a new side of yourself. And I guess that's my hunch is that's the only place you can make any kind of money. So I'm skeptical, but I'm looking forward to it, Steve. I want to see if Cody can reinvent himself without feeling encumbered by WWE creative.
Man, I wish that guy all the luck. He's a good kid, and I've been friends with the family forever. And Dusty meant so much to you know, my wrestling career. And I used to travel the world with Dustin and got to know Cody a little bit. So I wish the guy all the luck in the world. But going back to WWE news, I'm reading a paragraph, and I'm quoting Vince from the SmackDown stuff. It says, WWE's flagship programs will both leverage the incredible depth of our talent roster, distinct storylines, and the unpredictable nature of live TV. Okay, let's go back to the incredible depth of the talent roster. I don't see incredible depth. Do you have a lot of people there? Yes. Speak to me about your opinion of that.
I think part of if there's a perception that there's a lack of depth, I think part of the reason is they've got 4, 5, 6 guys that get protected as top guys. And you could argue it's only 3, Shane, Stephanie, and Roman. That'd be a little cynical. But there's, you know, 5, 6 active wrestlers who are treated as top guys. Seth Rollins, John Cena, both coming back, Cena next week and Seth this week, are among them. That adds roster depth. Cesaro's back. Bray Wyatt will be back soon, we hope. I think he'll be back soon. And then you got Randy Orton coming around later this summer. That adds depth. You also have an influx of talent that have already come in from NXT or talent ready to come up. Samoa Joe, most prominently, but Jason Jordan and Gable. I think American Alpha are nearing a point where they can be called up and absolutely fit in on the main roster. Shinsuke Nakamura, heck, if you need Austin Aries to fill out a good mid-card spot, he's a great worker. And NXT has a pipeline of people who can take their spots on the NXT roster. So I do think having guys work half as often because they're exclusive to a brand. In other words, you're not going to see Kevin Owens have a 12 to 15 minute match that's really good twice a week on TV, where you're almost numb to it because you see it too much. Having him only on once a week on one of the shows is a good thing, and it's going to keep, by definition, everybody fresh. And then if you have AJ Styles, instead of getting rotated out of the main event like it looked like was happening this week, you'll have a situation where a guy as talented as AJ, who's performed as well as he has so far, can be at the top of, say, SmackDown, while Roman and Cena are at the top of Raw. And I think there's enough guys who, if given the main event spot, will live up to that. But if there isn't a main event spot for them, they just end up in that even Steven 50-50 mid-card zone, and they end up being kind of defined down in the eyes of fans. So I like differentiating the rosters, having distinct rosters, and having more guys protected but being seen less often, only once a week instead of twice a week.
You know, obviously, if you're going to make a live television show, this has been some time in the making, because things don't happen overnight. Although some of the people I thought, yeah, I've been talking to had thought, hey, man, this is kind of a quick move, and it just happened all of a sudden. I think not. It's live TV, and you're changing your whole roster, your schedule around, and the way you got to schedule guys on the road. So my question is, if this has been a long-term process, do you think that's why so many of the guys, you mentioned Samoa Joe, all the, to me, all-stars that you mentioned down in NXT, have been held back for so long and kept because this was in the making and they wanted to do this brand split, whatever you want to call it scientifically, to happen?
I do, yeah.
Because, I mean, if they don't get Samoa Joe in the ring and get him up to main event status, in my opinion, the guy's one of the best workers in the world. He's going to be drawn on his AARP card. You know, that's the American Association for Retired People, which I'm close to. So I'm kidding. I'm kidding about Joe with regards to AARP card. But, I mean, God dang, this guy's a hellacious worker, and I've been wanting to see him on the main roster forever.
I want to see Samoa Joe as a heel against Roman Reigns as a babyface. I'd like the role switched. Also, I think that'd work because I think Roman is maybe a natural heel more so. But if Vince is going to stick with Roman as a babyface, and Roman's had some world-class matches with world-class workers, I think Samoa Joe coming into the Raw brand, if Reigns is a world champion, and being a heel who feuds with Roman, is a match and a feud I want to see. So, and that's just, and then if Samoa Joe's kept strong, you can move him to Brock Lesnar, and I think you can have Joe be a fresh, credible opponent for Brock because he's just so thick and believable in that way. Joe definitely, I think, can be a good fit for Raw if Raw ends up being the more traditional John Cena, Roman Reigns, Randy Orton, Seth Rollins brand. If SmackDown goes in a different direction and caters to the fans who sold out NXT TakeOver Brooklyn, and they try to have a different vibe and a feel that fits Mauro Ranallo's announcing and is a little bit more indie veteran, proven indie veteran core, if that's the core, and they're given a chance to shine without Vince always going, yeah, but what about Roman? But what about Cena? If they're just given a chance to carry the show and shine in the main event spot, but you add Finn Balor to it, and you add Asuka, and you add Bayley, and you add Shinsuke Nakamura, and you add Austin Aries, that's plenty of depth. I'm not at all worried about there being 18 guys on SmackDown and 22 guys on Raw who are all worthy and able to fill 2 or 3 hours a week.
Man, it'll be interesting to see what they can do on a big stage. And given the fact that you mentioned a lot of veteran names with a couple of youngsters, can they get over on a big stage? Because I've been looking for Finn Balor to come up forever. He's done some good things in NXT. He's got an intriguing entrance. I think it's too slow, but I think the man is very talented. And to see Bayley on a big stage, she's a young lady who I think just is very, very marketable. She's done well in NXT. She's had some great matches with Sasha Banks and a bunch of other people, but to see them on a big stage will be refreshing for me. So again, it is a lot of bodies, a lot of people, talent and talented people, but I don't think you can say your roster is necessarily deep, but you do have a lot of players or people that are going to try out, and we'll see how they do. Are they going to make the all-star team by getting over, or are they just going to be bodies that go out there and occupy time on a television screen?
Well, I think we've seen with NXT and the TakeOver specials, Steve, and even the weekly show, but especially the TakeOver specials, fans are filling buildings, treating that roster from top to bottom as wrestlers having matches that matter to them, fighting for titles or contendership or to settle grudges, which are the three main categories. They've filled 2.5 hours really well with a much smaller roster than what SmackDown and Raw will be if they split it in half but also add a few pieces. So I'm not worried about roster depth. I am excited to see Finn Balor on SmackDown on a roster. And again, I'm projecting here. It's possible that Cena's going to be the leader of SmackDown and Roman on Raw, and nothing will really change compared to the last brand split. What I'm kind of hoping, and with Ryan Ward being the writer for NXT, now being moved to the main roster and being the head writer or one of the main contributors to SmackDown now, he's got familiarity with what worked in NXT and a lot of these guys. So I'm leaning towards and hoping and actually predicting that SmackDown, with Mauro Ranallo's more sports-like announcing and the two-hour format, that it skews a little bit smaller. The guys are a little bit smaller, but they can go, and they are given an opportunity and breathing room to get those main event spots where they're not ultimately jobbed out to bigger guys that Vince has more of an instinct to push to the top.
Oh, no, no. I mean, the SmackDown roster can't be the minor leagues. It can't be
right.
The NXT or the big leagues. That being said, the SmackDown show will be a two-hour show, correct, live?
Yep, 2 hours live.
Okay, so
Raw remaining three for now.
Raw remaining three, but I mean, God dang, here was a prime opportunity for him to take him back down to two, give a SmackDown the other hour or whatever, just trade off and make it 2-2. So to me, three versus two, I mean, SmackDown could become the hotter show just because it takes less time to watch it, and man, hopefully less. Everybody's got attention deficit these days, so I don't know. To me, it could have the makings of making SmackDown the hotter, more popular show.
I think there's a good chance of that. I mean, I do. I mean, they have to do a lot of things right. They could screw up SmackDown and won't draw. I mean, there's just too many variables. But is that is that absolutely possible to do if they do things right? I think so. And Raw being 3 hours drags down everything good on that show. 3 hours, 10 minutes, actually. It drags down everything. There's segments, and I watch Raw a lot, and I'm like, this was a 7-minute segment that went 12. And that was an 18-minute match that should have been 11, because they're just filling time,
right.
and that's an inherent handicap. And then they overexpose guys on SmackDown. You're not going to see everybody wrestle every week because there's, quote, only 2 hours. And when they do go out and have a segment, they can have the segment be as long as it should be, not figuring out a way to add 5 minutes to it. So SmackDown could become the hotter show for a lot of reasons, including that it's possible Vince will go, all right, I'm going to step back a little bit. I want to see what you guys can do with a SmackDown budget on USA Network with what is apparently the vision for these damn millennials. You know what these damn millennials like, and the people who are booing Roman Reigns. And then maybe Raw becomes a show that the people who are booing Roman Reigns will be less resentful of, because they'll enjoy watching Raw because their favorites aren't on the undercard jobbing out to the guys that Vince prefers to push. And maybe that will actually allow them to enjoy the show a little bit more. I mean, that's a best case scenario, but I don't think it's fantasy land. I think there's a chance that having AJ do his thing on Tuesdays unencumbered in a main event, and having Samoa Joe, Seth Rollins, John Cena, Roman Reigns, Randy Orton, Bray Wyatt do their thing on Raw, let the two shows have different flavors. Because, Steve, like, think about the late 80s. WWF and the NWA had very different fan bases, not just regionally, even when they overlapped in territories. They each had their own identity of a brand of wrestling, and I think WWE with Raw and SmackDown could take advantage of something that has existed and thrived in the wrestling industry previously.
Okay, so will then each talent group that goes with Raw or SmackDown, are they going to cross back and forth? Are they specific to the show? And I say that because I'm talking about all your champions. Are they going to be specific to Raw? Are they going to cross back and forth?
The indications are now that they're going to be specific to each brand, and that could mean two world titles again. And I know. And there's pros and cons to that. The cons, I think, outweigh the pros, because you've two world champions.
I mean,
but I like the idea of having one world champion who floats between the brands but isn't on every show. That's what it used to be like. Ric Flair wasn't on every show that was of a territory that was NWA affiliated, but when he showed up, it was a big deal. And so you could have, for instance, if Roman is most identified with Raw, in a draft, but he's a world champion. He would, and this again gets into a sports-like structure that Vince kind of sometimes scoffs at or rolls his eyes at the notion of. But if you just said Roman's got to defend the title once a month on SmackDown, but you get the, you have a situation where for some fans SmackDown's kind of the home team and they're rooting for their guy at the top of SmackDown to get that title shot once a month on a pay-per-view or once every 2 months on a pay-per-view if they rotate that against the Raw-based champion, you can actually have a situation kind of like college football where there's, you know, the bronze pig or whatever that the college teams fight over in the same region. You can sort of have a case where whoever wins the belt, that's their home base, but they have to travel to the other show on occasion to defend it. I like that better than just having two world titles again. I fully expect there to be two sets of tag team titles and the US and IC title split. I'm not sure about the women since they just retired the Divas belt.
Man, I absolutely think that the world champion ought to travel back and forth because, like you said, the hometown guy or if the champion's on Raw, Reigns, who has the championship, and then he goes to SmackDown, to me, that in and of itself creates something that I want to see.
Yeah, because, I mean, I was in person for the first advertised house show between Ric Flair and Hulk Hogan. I flew out to Oakland, California to see that match, and you're never going to reproduce that even with a really well-executed brand split. But it's an example of sitting in that crowd. I've seen Hogan come to the ring in person dozens of times. I'd seen Ric Flair come to the ring in person many times. But when they both stepped into the ring together, it was a moment. It was a huge moment. It was amazing. And then they took off the robe and the T-shirt and they stood face to face. It was crazy. I get chills thinking about it right now. WWE has a chance to create that if they're disciplined about keeping the rosters apart. If Shinsuke Nakamura gets over on one of the brands, and he gets over the course of a year and a half, and he hasn't faced Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins yet, whoever. When that match happens at WrestleMania or SummerSlam, it means a lot more than if they're constantly crossing paths and facing the same guys on two shows every single week and sharing pay-per-views. So I think there's an opportunity here with discipline to actually turn this into a way to create dream matches for this current generation who doesn't even know what that is.
Hey, man, you brought up, moving along, you brought up a name, AJ Styles, a while ago. And, man, I've been talking about him on my podcast. I know you're real high on him, have been for quite some time. I love this guy. And I've been wanting him to get a chance to come to WWE for a long time. And he's put in two phenomenal, no pun intended, performances against Roman Reigns. He's carried that guy to great matches. And Roman Reigns did his part in those matches. That needs to be said. But AJ Styles goes out there, and I didn't see the match on Monday Night Raw this past week. I know he did the I know Kevin Owens beat him, and I think that was the right decision because they've hit the brakes so many times with Kevin. You got to go ahead and run with this guy. So they're going to, and he's earned it. He's a hell of a work in the ring. He's great on a stick. He's really been getting over. But, man, at some point here, and it's you got to do it ASAP. You got to do it now. Yep. AJ Styles has to be treated like the superstar that he is, or that he can be, and he is the phenomenal one. A kid can work his ass off and has been busting his ass to go out there and put on a show for these people. And that kid's on a show. No matter who he's working with, I want to see it because of the performances he's turned in. But my point is, this kid has to win, and he needs to win now.
I'm with you, and that's where the brand split. The roster, having two exclusive rosters, creates more top spots where guys can be protected. Because you can have AJ on one of the rosters be protected. Right now, there's only, you know, 3-4 guys being protected on Raw and SmackDown. You'd instantly double that number if you have exclusivity between two different brands, because there's going to be top guys for however long that they earn their keep as top guys who are going to be protected, and now AJ can become that guy. Steve, related to that, I want to ask you something. Do you think in 2016, WWE, that there are two types of fans? Because that's an ongoing debate. I was talking to Todd Martin about that earlier and others this week. Do you believe that there are two different types of fans that WWE is having trouble satisfying within the same show that they can actually increase the number of and the satisfaction level of and maybe turn more of them into network subscribers if they give them their show each week? And they hope they watch both, but they at least super serve each of those types of fans once a week with a show that it doesn't have a bunch of other stuff mixed in.
Man, how do you mean that? Because I haven't been watching. I watch the pay-per-views. I don't watch the other two shows. And I didn't even know what channel SmackDown was until you started talking.
Yeah.
So are you talking about basically the people that are there to see what's happening in the ring versus the people that are watching the writing?
I think my language might have a bias in it, so I apologize for that. But the fans who are more into the superficial showmanship, and that's important to them. They want wrestlers who turn heads in airports, who are big personalities, but also physically big, who look like comic book heroes stepping off the page with, you could just imagine Vince McMahon's announcing, you know, it's the Vince McMahon proclivity. It's what he looks for. But there's what happened with NXT with, as Vince would say, these little guys running around having these sports like fights that sold out in Brooklyn and that sold out and packed other buildings. The damn millennials, as Vince might call them, who have this other vision for what they want wrestling to be. But WWE is trying to serve them both within the same show. So what I'm saying is, can you have Roman Reigns as a babyface against a heel Seth, a heel Randy Orton, a heel Samoa Joe coming in, and you have Bray Wyatt as maybe coming back as a babyface, but still more character-based on Raw. But then you have a fan base that's booing Roman, but they don't have to boo Roman anymore because they're just going to the house show that features AJ and Finn Balor and Nakamura and Asuka.
Man, that's a damn good question. How have the house shows been doing anyway?
When they do the quarterlies, I mean, you definitely see that there's some struggles with attendance, but it's not like this huge, huge change between last year and 2 years ago in terms of attendance. But there's a difference when the big stars are on a show versus not, but they're kind of front-loading shows now. In the bigger market, the bigger stars go there, and sometimes they'll even switch them during the weekend, although that's usually if there's an injury. But if you actually have SmackDown and USA Network live backing the guys who clearly have gained some traction in NXT, but you put the machinery behind them, and now you run once a year in Boston and Dallas and Minneapolis. Do you draw bigger crowds by doing that, by super serving a certain type of audience who right now says, I don't want to sit through 2 hours of crap to see two of my favorites in one match?
Boy, I tell you what, you cover a lot of ground there. I mean, man, I'm so out of tune with the product, other than, you know, just want to watch the pay-per-views. That's a hard question to answer, but seemingly you could, just because, you know, you can serve up whatever kind of dish you want for that particular crowd.
Analogy, I mean, because in the territory days, each territory had a kind of style of wrestling. But the big question this week is, will wrestling fans follow good wrestling, pay for good wrestling, and not pay for bad wrestling? And when I mean wrestling, I mean the booking, the structure, the foundation, having the matches matter, the titles matter, honoring that when somebody wins, it helps them move up, and someone loses, it's treated as the agony of defeat. Well, if you do all that well, the style of wrestling doesn't count. If you do that well, you'll draw money. But there's another school of thought, which is, no, there's different styles of wrestling for different people, and that the NWA versus WWF in the 80s is an example of that. I mean, you lived it, you saw it, and you transitioned from WCW to the WWF and succeeded in the WWF, but actually changed the style because you got so hot and Vince was kind of on the ropes. So I just wonder, is there only one type of fan, or can the WWE machinery be so great that it can provide that two different alternative visions under the same umbrella, that a lot of people will love both, but some will now like one or the other a lot more?
Well, I tell you what, that's speculation. I guess it remains to be seen. In theory, I think so.
Yeah.
But let me ask you this. As I'm sitting here looking on the WWE homepage, there's a picture of Roman Reigns, the champion, and there's John Cena on the left and Sasha Banks on the right. You know, John Cena is going to come back probably when? A couple weeks?
John Cena's back on Memorial Day Monday.
Okay, so you do the split. You're going to leave him in the same territory, as let's call it, with Roman Reigns, or you take him across, like you were saying earlier, do you put him on SmackDown? And if you do, is that to anchor SmackDown, or is that because they're moving him down because now Roman Reigns is the face?
I think that my hunch is they're going to put Cena and Roman on Raw. Because Raw's 3 hours, and I think they are going to think they need both of them to anchor the two of the big segments on 3-hour Raw. And I think that not having Cena and Roman on SmackDown is a way to mitigate the overexposure of both. I've told this story before, but I remember Vince McMahon called me up and pitched me the brand split before it originally happened. And his argument was, I remember the question distinctly because I'm talking to Vince McMahon on the phone. Do you think more people will watch SmackDown if that's the only way they can see The Rock? And will more people watch Steve Austin if that's the only way, if that's the only way they can watch Steve Austin?
What'd you tell him?
Because I said yes. I think that the people who don't watch SmackDown will go out of their way to watch it if it's the only way they can see one of their favorite top stars.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, and that was so I bring that story up because that was the original impetus for him doing the brand split. I've got this these two mega stars, but I don't think Roman is The Rock, and you know Cena's as close as they come this era to Steve Austin, but Roman's not there yet, where you just go, well, if we put Roman on SmackDown, we're guaranteed successful ratings. So I think he's going to want Roman and Cena on a three-hour Raw, because we're in a three-hour era of Raw. And I think he's going to want to then let some of the other guys that maybe he even feels a pang of guilt that he can't give a main event slot to because they're getting over and a lot of people praise them, even if they're not his the style or size of wrestler that normally he just gravitates to. Maybe he learned a lesson from Daniel Bryan. Maybe he's learning a lesson from AJ Styles and a larger lesson from NXT that let Ryan Ward and Triple H do their thing on SmackDown. I'm going to be a little more hands off and watch it happen. I wouldn't read into the graphic because I think any chance corporate has to put Cena and Reigns on a graphic that's going to get play in Variety, they're going to do that. But there's going to be a draft sometime between now and July 19th, where it'll be decided who goes on which show.
All right, on that note, Wade, let's take a break right here. Pause for the calls for the sponsors to keep the show on the air for free. Folks, I'm coming right back with Wade Keller from the Pro Wrestling Torch right after this. Hey, we've all had them times we could use a little extra money, and right now I've got a really easy way you can get that money. Drive with Uber. I know you guys know about Uber, and I know most of you have the Uber app on your smartphones already. But did you know that Uber and the Uber app can help you make extra money driving your own car? And the best thing about driving with Uber is that it's totally flexible. You make your own schedule. You decide when you want to drive and for how long. Whenever you want to make some extra scratch, just turn on the app and drive. You can drive for a few hours here, a couple hours there, drive for a ride, drive for two. It all adds up to great extra money fast, and it's really easy to get started. All you got to do is go to drivewithuber.com to sign up for free. And you can do it right now from your phone. Drivewithuber.com. You just answer a few questions about yourself and your car, and then you get approved. Once you're approved, you start driving. I told you it was easy. Start enjoying your flexibility of working when you want and earning extra money on your schedule. Sign up to Drive with Uber today. Go to drivewithuber.com. That's drivewithuber.com. One last time, and I will spell it out for you, drivewithuber.com. All right, Wade, here we are. Back to the subject at hand. You said that Roman Reigns wasn't quite there yet, and I agree, he's not quite there yet. Although he has improved in the ring, he's had two stellar matches with AJ Styles, and again, you know, I give Roman Reigns all the credit for carrying his end of that match. Styles is a tremendous worker. Roman has a tremendous look. What is he lacking, Wade? Where's the missing connection? I know there's you know, the heat from the way he's been booked, and some people think that he's just been shoved down their throats, or it's a little what's the word I'm looking for? Entitled. But he just hasn't connected the way Vince wants him to. What is missing, in your opinion, with this young man?
Yeah, I mean, there is something missing. I mean, there is. I was at Extreme Rules on Sunday in New Jersey in Newark, and watched the women pop up when Roman Reigns was introduced, and a bunch of husbands and boyfriends sitting next to him with their arms crossed, looking embarrassed, you know. And then when AJ was introduced, they went bonkers, the same way they did for Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens and Cesaro earlier. They're not that's a big part of the fan base. 18 to 49 males, Steve, is a big target you want happy with your brand.
But dude, I used to say the same thing about Shawn Michaels when I was trying to explain my demographic, and the same thing with Shawn Michaels. I mean, you know, many times he worked heel for a long time, but I mean, a lot of guys, he was such a good looking guy that, you know, they didn't like when their wives or their girlfriends jumped out of their seats, but you know, they were very attracted to him. So same with Reigns. I agree with you there, but the overall connection is deeper than that.
It is, and part of it is Sean and Brett both earned the respect of fans for years on the tag team scene and the Intercontinental title level. I don't think there'd be this backlash with Roman if he went from the Shield to getting new music, dropping the vest, and coming out on the stage like everybody else. He came across as the privileged chosen one, that he got to keep the Shield music, he kept the Shield gear, he didn't change anything, and he immediately got pushed to the top. Now, Kevin Eck was on my live cast talking about this a few weeks back and said Vince didn't want the fan perception to be that Roman Reigns was a chosen one and that he was getting pushed. Well, I think Vince failed in that regard. I mean, I think fans, whether it was CM Punk saying it on the Coca-Cola podcast or what people watched with their own eyes on TV, they perceived that Reigns was leapfrogging some other people. And that hurt Roman unfairly. But some of this is on Roman. He's had great matches with three of the best workers of this generation.
Right.
Brock, AJ, and Brian. He's got to have better matches against guys where he's the better wrestler. And he hasn't done that yet. But every chance on the microphone he has to connect with the crowd, he isn't doing it yet. And so there's something missing both in terms of what he does in the ring and how he carries himself on the microphone, how he carries himself when he's about to talk, much less when he does talk, that's still is causing resentment among the male fan base. There is that sense of Roman thinks he's all that, and he gives off that vibe. He's a cool dude, and I think with a tweak, those guys can like him. But I think Roman is not acting like he wants it enough. He's acting like he deserves it instead of he wants it. And it's a hard thing to put your finger on, but it's a difference between the Lex Express tour working and not working. It's a difference between what made Hulk Hogan work and other guys who are given big pushes not work. And there's still something there with Roman that's not there. He has really big moments where you could go, don't give up on the guy. But he's had so many chances to get over as a babyface with that 18 to 49 male demo. And I'm just not seeing progress, even as he works hard and tries to earn it in the ring.
And I thought, early on, organically, you needed to have a monster heel run and do it, kind of go down a similar path that The Rock did. Again, because you came in as a white meat babyface. This kid came in different, but Rock came in as a white meat babyface, and people just shit all over him. And then all of a sudden, he turned into this magnificent heel, and then he became cool, and then he became The Rock, the most electrifying man in sports entertainment. It was an unbelievable ride. And I said, this kid's going to have to walk through the fire. But, man, just when you say, okay, since everybody hates him or everybody is booing him, and I mean from a wrestling standpoint, not personal or whatever you feel, but you just flip this guy heel, and just because people are booing him now doesn't mean they're going to boo him and mean it, quote unquote, or he won't have real heat just because you switch him heel. So you can boo him now just because you don't like him or you think he's entitled, he hasn't worked hard enough, but you flip him heel, I mean, that'll blow up in your face just as soon as the path that he's on.
I think that would be true in most cases. I think Roman is good enough. This is a compliment to Roman. I think he's good enough and the fans respect him enough that if he plays a role that better fits his personality right now and where he fits into the landscape, if you turn him heel, I don't think fans will go, I don't want to pay to see this guy in the main event. I think people would enjoy booing him. I think if he was cast in a way that better fit people's perception of him, whether it's fair or not or realistic or not, they perceive him a certain way. I think Roman's talented enough that we see with Baron Corbin and the way he carries himself on Raw and what he did on NXT as that jock athlete who looks down at the overweight, beer-bellied, wrestling t-shirt-buying fan who populates a lot of the people who are booing Roman. I think those people feel judged by Roman. And I don't think Roman does anything to offset that perception. And I think Roman can be a good heel, a very effective heel, in the way that Chris Jericho is, in that Seth Rollins does a stellar job trying to turn the tide. Fans want to cheer Seth, and Seth is successful at getting a lot of those fans to boo him for the fun of it, because it's fun to be at a show and have a reason to boo what people are saying. Same thing with Chris Jericho. So I think there's tons of money in Roman Reigns being a heel for a few years before he gets to that stage where fans would embrace him as a babyface.
Well, I think, I don't see it happening in the near future. And also, along with that, his mannerisms when he was working with AJ Styles, and particularly in the first match they had, I mean, he kind of played right down the middle, and there were some heelish moments in there where just the way he carries himself. I mean, that's naturally him, although he's just a very nice guy as a human being.
Some of the best heels in movies were really nice guys off screen.
Right, but they were
cast a certain way because it fit what they came what came across on camera.
I think it's more natural to him to be a heel, or it will be if they go that route. But I think and he can be a heel, but to me he has another level to go just from the connection to the people to be a money heel or a money baby rather than just being a heel or being a baby, because there's a difference.
Do you think we're at an age, in an era, Steve, that, or is there even any era where you can say, we're not going to have heels and baby faces, we're just going to put people out there, let the fans decide, and do kind of what they did with AJ and Roman in that first match, which is they just are who they are and let the fans decide, because you can't steer fans in a direction. I don't agree with that. I was talking to Sam Roberts this week in New York. He agrees. He thinks that's kind of where we are and why fight that tide. I still believe, like in almost every genre, you make more money when a cast director picks the right people and the script and the directors present people in a way where they get a desired reaction. We're either rooting for them to succeed or rooting for them to fail. I think that's where the money is. I think it's in conflict and having a side to root for, not just going, nah, there's too many shades of gray, I give up.
No, I agree with you 100%. I believe in heels and babies, and if you don't want to go back and be in a traditional sense from the mid-'80s or the Attitude Era, I mean, where you were, well, I crossed over and you know, it had a gray area, but, you know, traditional booking.
But you were a
babyface. Yeah, but I'm just saying, I just prefer traditional booking. There are heels and there's babies, but and it's not so, you know, quote unquote heels and babies, but yeah. So the what they're doing, how they're booked, sways people to perceive them in a certain light.
Right, because I'm not saying book every babyface like Bob Backlund, Vern Gagne,
and Bruno
Sammartino.
You book them all to their characters, but it's all, like you said, like I just said, to their character. Everybody's going to do things in a different way, but yeah, you lead the audience in a certain direction. It's interesting, you know, because you bring that up. Here comes Seth Rollins. People have been clamoring for this kid to come back. He comes back from a knee injury. He's getting cheered through the roof. So, you know, he left as a heel. He could have come back as a babyface, but, you know, from some of the stuff I was reading, they're just kind of, you know, playing him kind of in the middle, but more towards the heel side. But they don't want to commit to what this guy is yet. What is he? And has there been a lack of commitment because they're doing the filling out process?
I think that whatever they – well, specific, I want to back up to a general point first, that if you have a character that from a distance looks like a heel or a face, but they don't stand for something that the audience identifies with, they're going to be they're going to be booed. And if they stand for something the audience identifies with, they're going to be cheered regardless of the tactics they use or their ring style. And so Seth Rollins stands for being a weasel who's constantly making excuses for losing and sucking up to authority figures to try to get ahead. That makes him a heel, even if people admire other aspects of him. And that's where I think you can have a babyface who has an edge to him, like you did, but as long as he stands for something, which is anti-authority, against the boss who's trying to dictate something that isn't what the people want. I mean, you can describe the roots of your character and what worked better than anybody. You lived and breathed it. You didn't need to be the scientific, clean wrestler to be a babyface. I think when people say we're past the era of heels and babyfaces, their definition of that is too narrow. I think you have a very broad definition. In the end, you just have to have the babyface fighting for a cause and representing something that your fan base identifies with and likes. And sometimes that's fighting fire with fire. But Seth comes across as a heel because while he's talented in the ring and the fans respect him for it, he's still a sniveling weasel in the end who's sucking up to the power base.
All right, I'm sitting here looking at – with that being said, moving on to the next subject. And, yes, I said with that being said, I get flack for saying that all the time. Hopefully I'm not breathing in the microphone too. I'm looking at a picture of Sasha Banks. What's the story with her? I heard she caught a knee to the head from a referee, a concussion.
She did, Yep, she got a concussion from that. I like that there's multiple choices for how to have used her recently before her concussion, because that was just a week and a half ago. And she hadn't been on TV for a while before that. I like keeping her off TV if you don't have a wonderful plan on how to build momentum for her on TV. If she's going to be part of the 50-50 mid-card club, keep her off TV. She's too special. So I say good, keep her off TV until they're ready to really build her up. And if that was after the Natalia Charlotte feud, so that Sasha can come in, not in a sharing space with Becky Lynch as a co-babyface, but being the new hot act who's earned number one contendership, I'm all for that. I like the idea of Charlotte against Sasha one-on-one with Sasha, the clear-cut babyface, no three-way stuff. And I think that's where they were headed or will be headed still.
But, man, I tell you what, they just need to leave her as a complete single entity. Man, they put her with, in that group, and with all due respect to those other women, Sasha is a singles competitor. And to your point, she is special. I believe that as well. She's a tremendous worker. She's got a great look. She's got a great gimmick. She can talk. She can do it all. And I think the young lady has money written all over, but she's got to be a single person that's not, got anybody running any interference with her, not taking any away and a shine away from any of her camera time. She is a solo act, the legit boss. I mean, it kind of speaks for itself. I agree with you. If they ain't got nothing for her, keep her off TV. But if you're going to bring her back full green light and bring her back in a solo run.
I totally agree. And I think they are headed that direction. I mean, I've heard Vince McMahon.
But it's so frustrating because, you want to get the women more television time. They got the women's title now. It's no longer Diva. I mean, there's some great talent in that women's division. And so sometimes they just want to, three of them, do these 6-8-person tags just so they get the women some television time. And that's a disservice to the talent because you can't do shit and within a 6-8-person tag match. And, it's so formulated and see-through and discombobulated and micromanaged that no one really shines. It's a modified clusterfuck. And so you get the women some television time, but you ain't doing them a service. You're doing them a disservice because no one really gets to get over. There's no chance to really get your shit in. Not only your physical stuff in the match, but your personality and your character. And it just doesn't work for me. So I just think they need to keep them in singles and tags and scrap all the rest.
I think every division should be treated like the heavyweight division is treated, the heavyweight men's singles title division is treated. TNA didn't do that with the X division as often as I would have liked. That when they were focused on AJ Styles against Jerry Lynn, that worked because there was an issue between them and there was a title between them and they had a good match and there was focus. When it became, hey, let's have a 6-man spot fest with things above the ring and they're hanging from stuff, it just became about spots instead of the personalities. And as we learn in UFC, a bunch of good fighters who people don't know, just having good fights doesn't draw. Having two personalities where people care and have a favorite who they want to see win, or there's a title at stake and history is on the line, people line up to see Conor McGregor. People line up to see Ronda Rousey. People have lined up to see George St. Pierre and Brock Lesnar, the biggest draw they've had during that era. So I think with the women, you follow that same formula. If you're not going to have 6 segments on women like you have 6 segments on men, then just rotate which women are on TV, but don't throw them all out there at once like TNA did too often with the X division. And I'd argue the same thing, with tag teams. I mean, make the tag teams about the titles, and wins get you closer to the title contention. And it's just more stripped down and simple. You keep it in that way, the better.
Hey, man, I just got a chance to watch a little bit of Raw, and I saw the Ric Flair Charlotte. I saw the Ric Flair Charlotte promo, and what's the other young lady who's out there?
Dana Brooks.
Yeah. God dang, this was it was a cluster. It wasn't good.
No, it wasn't.
Real bad segment. What were your thoughts on that?
It was awkward almost from the get-go. You had Rick, I think, trying to make up for it and over-emoting too quickly, and then
he spilled the beans as soon as he went out there.
He did.
He had only been talking 10 to 15 seconds. I said, oh, he's getting fired, or she's going to kick him out of the damn ring, and that's exactly what happened. And then, man, that was a pretty rowdy crowd, and she got lost, and I love Charlotte. Yep. Man, she's a talented female. She's still green, but she's got so much potential, and she carries herself. When she enters that damn arena, everybody comes to her feet, and when they hit that music, it's a moment. And, know, we'll see what happens with the matches that she's in. But, you know, she's a special one, too. But that was just a real bad thing. And I think Rick kind of spilled the beans. Whoever wrote that, because Rick is one of the best promos in the history of the business. And you don't write nothing for Ric Flair. Just let him go out there and do his thing. But so he's going out there, and he's trying to memorize this script that someone wrote him. And he spilled the beans. He started tripping all over himself. And then it just only got worse from there. And then Charlotte's trying to recoup, and she gets lost a couple of times and goes at the crowd and kind of misspeaks, and it was extremely awkward, and it was hard to watch because I'm such a fan of the Flairs.
I know, and I mean, there are wrestlers who drew a lot of money in this industry in previous decades who would not make it in WWE today because they wouldn't be able to stand in the ring and do what they ask of wrestlers in the position of Charlotte. It's a product of the inflexible format of Raw and the sheer length and number of hours that they have to fill of TV time. And so you end up with women like Charlotte out there, or wrestlers like Charlotte out there, standing there having to do things that don't play to her strengths. Her strength is more so having Renee Young, Lance Russell her through an interview.
Right.
Carry it. Make her comfortable. Ask her questions. Have her be in the moment. Like, Sami Zayn is great. I like Sami Zayn in almost everything he does. But Sami Zayn did an interview that was WWE.com exclusive. And it was just Renee Young holding the microphone asking him about his match on Raw. And he had the adrenaline going. He was in the zone. And it was the best promo Sami Zayn's done that nobody will see. Because it wasn't scripted. Because it's only for .com. We're not going to spend writer's time scripting it. And it was the best thing. So I think Charlotte's showing herself at this stage to be somebody who you're better off having her talk off bullet points and instinct for a shorter amount of time with an interviewer guiding her than having her stand in the ring rehearsing lines methodically, filling time in a monotone way. It just isn't working, and they need to figure that out and adjust. Adjust to the talent strengths. Adjust to the talent that you have. Don't just keep looking for people to fill the slots on the show that are preordained.
Hey, man, you brought Bray Wyatt's name a while back, and I've been wondering where he is. What's his injury status? What happened to Cat?
Just back injury, and I haven't heard a timeline other than it's not considered a long-term thing. So I think they might be at the point now where they're actually just waiting for the right moment to bring him back. But it's also possible that his back isn't ready for him to even do a lot of traveling. I absolutely think that having time off, even though in a way it was bad timing because they were all over the posters for this last paper or for Payback, I think it worked out better not having him around for a while as this brand split kind of shakes out, and he can come back and fill a spot, and there'll be a really good game plan for him. So kind of like Sasha Banks, I almost think he'll benefit from being off TV for a while.
Okay, let's talk about and speaking of bringing him back as a heel or baby, give me an answer, heel or baby.
For Bray?
Yes.
I think you got to go babyface now.
Okay, you got to go babyface now.
Yeah.
But I want to compare him and Kevin Owens because you got two guys, almost similar bodies, not quite. You know, Bray's probably a little bit bigger, and Kevin doesn't quite have the physique that Bray does. But two guys, and, well, maybe I'm asking a bad question because Kevin Owens is a veteran. But they came in there, and Bray Wyatt certainly has a gift of gab, as does Kevin Owens. But Kevin Owens has been able to continue and sustain and maintain heel where Bray fell off and kind of – and there's a lot of booking there, too, and working within that trio. But Bray Wyatt just kind of – and maybe it was just the booking, but he kind of fell off of everybody's map when he was cutting all these wonderful promos, and he's a silver-tongued devil. So how do you see – me stumbling around that – how do you see his run as a babyface? Can he pick up or just get in the system and get to be a money baby?
I think Bray Wyatt is similar to Jake Roberts in that when he turns babyface officially and he's cast that way, fans will wonder how they ever booed somebody who's so cool.
Right.
And if Bray uses his powers, powers is the wrong word, his charisma and character and kind of the ticks that he has that differentiates him as a personality against a heel who's, whether it's Miz or Chris Jericho, I think fans will absolutely get behind him. I think there's a way to make Bray more of a heel and a more effective heel than the way they booked him, but I think the time has come for him to use that personality against heels in a way that fans enjoy. And I think there's enough heels on the roster to make that work. And by the way, I want to self-correct myself. I said back injury. It actually was a calf injury with him. So I don't know where I had back injury in my head as far as his injury went, but it's a calf injury, so I don't think traveling would be an issue. But I think that you also a calf injury is something you can re-injure if you come back too soon, obviously. But I think the latest timeline on him would be that he'd be absolutely ready for the draft July 19th, and it might be good to wait that long. But I think he can come back even sooner than that. And there's still talk, Steve, of a Brock Lesnar match, but I worry about that, because if they turn a babyface before that, you're going to have a split crowd, and I don't think that helps the momentum of somebody coming out of the gate with a new personality or a new role.
Man, you talk about a Brock and Bray match?
Yeah, they wanted to go that route at one point for WrestleMania, and I hope they abandon a talk of that, but they're so out of opponents for Brock that Bray became a guy who wanted the match as a heel, but I think the idea was have him be a heel until he fights Brock, hold his own really well, and maybe turn babyface afterwards officially. But everything things just got... WrestleMania's card got screwed up because of injuries, and then Bray got injured, and I think everything is up in the air with Bray in terms of the timeline of both turning face and maybe or maybe never facing Brock, depending on what they do with the brand split.
What is the next big event as far as pay-per-view goes?
Money in the Bank.
Money in the Bank.
Yep.
There was word on the street that they were going to do a women's Money in the Bank. Any bones to that?
There was talk of it in that I know I heard about it and then subsequently saw that they included it in one of their fan council online surveys they do. Would you like to see a women's Money in the Bank match? So it's definitely something that crossed the mind of somebody officially in WWE. It was more than a rumor. I didn't hear that it ever got real serious, and I hope it doesn't. I don't particularly like ladder matches in general being overexposed, but I just don't think that I like one-on-one matches in general, and I think for women, having women knocking themselves with ladders and falling off of ladders, I just don't think plays to their strengths.
Hey, man, segueing into Shinsuke Nakamura, we talked about him earlier. You mentioned his name. What are they doing with this kid? I mean, he's a veteran. They got him working every night down there in NXT. I know they're going to probably hold him for the brand split the draft, but what are they doing with this guy? I mean, they're running a lot of those guys, you know, pretty hard, and they're working the hell out of them, but a lot of those guys have been around for a long time, like Samoa Joe.
I know you don't want to put a bunch of bumps on their bump card and a bunch of mileage on them. And they did Shinsuke Nakamura against Samoa Joe at a house show. And if I remember right, the pictures were of the building, I think, had basketball hoops in the background. You know, it was one of those. It wasn't a big facility, and that was a freaking dream match. You know, I mean, seeing those two against each other.
Absolutely.
But he's main eventing house shows. Just last weekend, he headlined against Elias Sampson, the Drifter. So they're using Shinsuke as a way to help give experience to guys that they have some hopes for. That maybe getting experience with Shinsuke can help. But they're just holding off. He's going to be on the NXT special against Austin Aries. That's one of the top matches on the upcoming NXT TakeOver special. But yeah, I mean, they've had Nakamura against a wide array of opponents. I trust him more in the hands of NXT than I do in front of Vince, but I don't want to see him facing Elias Sampson a year from now, or that type of wrestler a year from now, obviously.
All right, I got one more question. I've been all over the place on this podcast.
Yeah.
Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson, they've got the thing going on now with AJ, where AJ says, hey, man, we can still be friends, but this is about me. It's my time now. And, you know, they said, hey, man, if we'd never helped you, you wouldn't be here. I was talking about AJ needing wins. They've got to do something with these two guys to get some steam on them.
I agree. I think, again, this is, I think, a product.
They're going to turn into nobodies. They came out of the Bullet Club. They were hotter than shit over in Japan, and I just don't feel like they've given them any identity.
No, they could have defined them either way. And because they had TV time to fill and wanted to protect the Usos, apparently, they played back and forth 50-50, even Stephen Booking with, well, it's barely, 50-50 is generous for them. They've been jobbed out. And
they
have
been.
Yeah, and they're plain-looking guys. I mean, I can see Vince McMahon looking at them going, I just don't see it. and they're utility guys, and that's all they're going to be. Or I'll heat them up when I need them, but right now I need them to do jobs. But it's going to be hard to rebuild them. I mean, they put what was it, week two or three that they were on TV? They put them against Usos in a tag match on Raw without announcing it ahead of time, nothing to make it feel special, and it just felt like another match. And they lost. They did a completely needless elimination match with Usos and Reigns a couple Mondays ago on Raw against Styles and Anderson and Gallows. And it was a short match, and they jobbed out both Usos and Anderson and Gallows by the 12-minute mark just so it would come down to AJ and Roman one-on-one. And so you got guys who have an upside that you're jobbing out in these rapid-fire pinfalls just to fill TV time. They could have so easily done a six-man tag, had the Usos and Anderson and Gallows brawl to the back, have Roman and AJ do their thing in the ring, and then had the Usos or Gallows and Anderson run back first, and you know, probably Anderson and Gallows run back first, and the Usos then come out for the save, accomplish the exact same thing they did, but save four guys doing jobs within 12 minutes in rapid-fire fashion. So it's actually worse than you probably realize, Steve, and you realize it's pretty bad. I wouldn't say they've been ruined, but boy, do they have an uphill battle to give them credibility again.
And I wouldn't, man. When you say they're plain looking, I think they may be plain looking in their WWE
to Vince
attire.
To Vince,
but
to Vince
but in the Bullet Club, I mean, you know, over in Japan, when they had their swagger and they were in their confidence zone, and they were just wearing, you know, all the stuff that they were wearing, I mean, they had a presence. So I think they've kind of been stripped down of that, and they kind of just look generic as hell. But I mean, you know, they're not too different than I was, you know. Because
I agree. So, and they're different than you in. With all due respect to them, because they're not you. But I know what you're saying by making that point. You can't have a swagger without looking like an idiot to the fans if you lose all the time.
Correct.
And they walked in with a swagger, and now if they have a swagger, the fans just look at them as, well, you know, your record is terrible, right? Why? You know, I mean, they're in front of a lot of people who've never seen them before. And the booking of them has defined them down to a level of Eric Rowan and Luke Harper, who were also, by the way, underutilized and underprotected. And it's unfortunate because now it almost seems like they're transitioning AJ into a feud with them. And that seems like a bigger step down than it should.
That's going to be a tough road to go down to, because, you know, AJ's, they've been beating him like a drum. He's been putting in world-class performances. I hope they're paying that sumbitch what he deserves, because he needs to be paid a lot. And all of a sudden you brought in three guys with history coming from Japan. I mean, if you don't, can't get some footage or make a story out of that. And the fact that they've like you said, they're damn near jobbed out Gallows and Anderson. And for that matter, high profile AJ, it's not going to be what it should have been.
I agree. I mean, this is going full circle, Steve. This is where I think a brand split can help, because you're not going to have guys having to wrestle twice a week on TV. And if you don't have the same guys wrestling twice a week on TV, there's a better chance that they're not just going to go, oh, God, we got so much time to fill. You win this tonight, and then next show, you'll lose. And then you'll win, and then you'll lose. And it's just trade wins, keep everybody equal. Now, seeing these guys wrestle will be less frequent, and you can be a little more nuanced and protective of the acts that should be protected. I think there should be finishes and matches. But when there's a finish, it should count. It should be thrill of victory and agony of defeat. It should be a big deal. It shouldn't be something that you get the feeling they just want to sweep under the rug as, well, glad we filled 15 minutes. Please, fans, forget that happened.
Hey, man, talking about finishes, I thought the AJ Styles versus Roman Reigns match at what's the name of the pay-per-view?
Extreme Rules.
Extreme Rules. I thought it wasn't what the first match was, but how could it have been? But still, it was a very, very solid match that I enjoyed. I expected the finish, but I didn't expect it to happen that way. How did you feel about the finish in that Roman Reigns AJ Styles match second time around?
It's tough. I don't like anybody kicking out of two Styles clashes, one on a chair.
Right.
You know, I didn't watch the match back on the network yet because I was there in person, but I understand Michael Cole said something to the effect of, you know, can Roman Reigns do X, Y, and Z because he's hurt? And like seconds later, he hit a spear for a win. You know what? It felt a little bit out of nowhere, and it felt like Reigns took everything and survived, and I would rather have him have taken less, because it felt to me in that building, heavy-handed, and by the time he won, I don't think fans were going, wow, I respect him for how tough he is, like when he fought Brock. I think the reaction was, man, he kicked out of everything. He's getting special treatment. And I think it hurt. AJ, I wouldn't say got hurt by the match, because AJ looks so good. And AJ is one of those Teflon guys, because he's so good, he can do a job and still come back. But I think it lowers the ceiling for AJ when he delivers his finisher twice and still ends up taking a clean three count.
Man, I'd almost somehow like to maybe Roman's catch a quick one on AJ somehow out of the blue, almost outsmarting the veteran. Or that's, it's hard to sit here and just book a finish, but I don't know, that one out of the blue like that. I mean, after everything he'd been through with the spear, like I figured that was going to be the finish. I figured Roman would go over, and I can understand why he went over. But, man, I think I could have changed the finish a little bit. Can't tell you right now what it would have been. But just going back to AJ Styles, man, you got to give this kid some wins, and you got to treat him like a superstar, because I believe he is one. With that being said, and I said with that being said again, folks, and I'm giving it to you for free. This podcast is for free. Hey, Wade, plug all your stuff, and let's ride off in the sunset.
Right, real quick. I do the PW Torch livecast. You can subscribe in iTunes. Just search PW Torch. We're on 6 days a week. I host Tuesdays and Thursdays. It's free. I just did a 2.5-hour interview with Kevin Nash last Thursday. That's absolutely worth your time. It's a must listen. And prior to that, two interviews, over 2 hours each, with former creative team members, one from the mid-2000s and then one from 2011 to 2014, Kevin Eck and Alex Greenfield. All great interviews, all educational, all entertaining. We're checking out. But we're on every day, and it's live. It's the only live daily pro wrestling talk show. Go check it out. PWTorchLivecast.com is the homepage for that. And then our website, news. I wrote an editorial earlier today on the brand split that's getting a lot of feedback on Twitter. That's at PWTorch.com. Breaking news, live TV results, live paper results. And then if you're an MMA fan, check out our other brand, MMATorch.com. And follow me on Twitter, at TheWadeKeller, and follow our brand, at PWTorch.
Hey, Wade, appreciate you joining me today.
Steve, always good to be on.
Are you looking to buy a used car? Well, if you are, then you should check out TrueCar.com and the TrueCar app, because I bet you didn't know that you can use TrueCar to help you buy a used car, too. It ain't just for new car purchases. There are over 500,000 pre-owned vehicles available from TrueCar certified dealers nationwide, and there are over 11,000 TrueCar certified dealers. And TrueCar lets you get upfront pricing information on new and used vehicle, and lets you see what other people paid for the car you want, so that you feel confident you're getting a fair price. With TrueCar, via their TrueCar pricing curve, you see what other people paid for the car, and you lock in your guaranteed savings. Then you can connect with a local certified dealer of your choosing, take them your TrueCar guaranteed savings certificate, and make your car buying experience quick and easy. Over 2 million cars have been sold to TrueCar users by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network. And TrueCar users save an average of over $3,000 off MSRP. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit TrueCar.com or download the TrueCar app to enjoy a better car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. All right, everybody, give me the go-home cue. It's time to wrap up this podcast and ride off in the sunset. But before I do, I got to give you guys something to put your eyeballs on, something to watch. And I sent out a message a few weeks ago on my podcast. If you got any suggestions on anything that's on television right now that's good, send it to questions@steveaustinshow.com, and you did. I got all kinds of great suggestions. And what I finally settled on was a show called Bloodlines on Netflix. It was a damn good thing I picked this thing to watch, because my wife watched season one, and she's been trying to talk me into watching with her, because she said it was very, very good. And my problem is, you know, Bloodlines. I'm thinking, man, ain't going to be no good. I'm trying to judge a book by its cover. So anyway, it's a story of a family set down in the Florida Keys. And I'm not going to give out any spoilers, because I'm only on episode 4, but I'm really digging it. So it's very well written. It's very well acted. A lot of talent on the screen. Cool story. Filmed down to Florida Keys. I've been to a lot of places, but I've never been to the Florida Keys. So just like the state of Louisiana lended itself as far as the landscape or backdrop to True Detective, so do the Florida Keys to this story. So I'm digging that. I appreciate your suggestions. And if you have any more suggestions, questions, or comments, send them to questions@steveaustinshow.com. And keep the questions coming. I read them all. I don't get a chance to respond to all of them on email, but I'm going to take a few questions from the email and answer a few on the show from here on out, if I can work them in organically, if you will.
Hey, man, as far as all the shit I got going on, my Broken Skull Ranch t-shirts and caps are available at BrokenSkullRanch.com or ProWrestlingTees.com/Steve Austin. Broken Skull IPA continues to fly out of the tap over at El Segundo Brewing Company here in Los Angeles, California. If you come out here to California, you can find Broken Skull IPA at Whole Foods, Total Wines, and you can also get it mailed to you via the internet at InsideTheCellar.com. But you can also go to BrokenSkullRanch.com, and we have a link on my website. The Steve Austin Broken Skull Cold Steel Knife, the knife that is getting rave reviews, the knife that you heard me use in a story on the podcast, is available at BrokenSkullRanch.com. You will find a link to ColdSteelKnives.com, and that's a badass knife, and at $80 with 5-star reviews, it's worth every single penny. Everybody should have a knife, whether you have my knife or anybody else's knife or any knife whatsoever in any situation. Hopefully it's not to protect yourself or defend yourself, but if it is, that's what you use it for. You need that thing to open letters? You got it. You need to cut your dog's leash? You got it. You need to clean your fingernails? You got it. Anyway, you can find that at BrokenSkullRanch.com. But I want to say thank you very much for you guys supporting the sponsors of the Steve Austin Podcast, because they're the ones who let me do this for you free twice a week. So big ups to DDPYoga.com/Austin and the DDP Yoga Now app. To 54clothing.com, use the promo code Austin at sign up to get 50% off your first box. Big ups to TrueCar and to Uber and, of course, to Amazon, who have been supporting this podcast since day one. Check it out. Use my Amazon links whenever you're doing any online shopping, and Amazon will kick back a couple of bucks to the podcast. It doesn't cost you anything extra, and there's no hidden fees or charges, and you can buy whatever you plan on buying and help out the podcast in the process. And you can find my Amazon links by going to podcast1.com and clicking on the Killer Deals button in the top right corner of the page, and then hitting the Steve Austin Show button. I've got Amazon links for USA, UK, and Canada. If you go to podcast1.com, click the Killer Deals button in the top right corner, then click on the Steve Austin Show. You will find all of my sponsors, all of my Amazon links there. I appreciate the support very, very much. It's easy. It's very easy. If you just bookmark the page, and that way you can find it in one click. Folks, keep listening. The 60-second AP News headlines are coming up next. And until next time, my name is Steve Austin, and I will catch your ass down the road.
Download new episodes of Steve Austin Unleashed every Thursday at podcast1.com. That's podcastone.com.